It's time for Mac Break Weekly. We got a great panel here for our last live show of 2017. Renee Ritchie, he's actually touched the new iMac Pro. He'll give you his impressions. Alex Lindsay, he'll probably buy 100 of them. He'll give you his impressions. And Andy Iannacco and I, who don't have iMac Pros, will give you our impressions. And watch carefully, because I might just get seduced by the dark side of the iMac.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 589, recorded Tuesday, December 19th, 2017. Leo pulls the trigger. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. And by WordPress. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off your brand new website today at wordpress.com/MacBreak. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/MacBreak to save 20% off any order. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the show where we talk about the latest Apple news with our fabulous team. It's our last show of 2017, and it's going to be a good one. Alex Lindsay is here from the Chicago Sun-Times. Hello, Alex.
You're not from the Chicago scene. The Chicago tech scene. That's really what I...
from Pixar.
Enjoy, Alex.
Right
Pixar
from Lake and Wabash. Actually,
from the Chicago Sun-Times, Andy Iannacco. Good to have you.
Hello.
Andrew.
And, good to be here, as always.
And in your new studio next week.
No, 2 weeks from now. When we
2 weeks. Great. All right. And then Renee Ritchie in his new studio in a couple of weeks, too. He's moving.
Yes, a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Everything is changing, Leo.
This is kind of the end of the line for a number of things at the end of the year. Renee Ritchie at iMore.com. And I want to thank you, and I bet you're going to talk about it. I'm going to just look what your pick of the week is this week for the Vector podcast this week.
I heard you talking about it earlier.
Such a great app cap for iOS Today. And I don't know if it's going to be, or is it going to be your pick this week or no?
No, I was going to leave, because I heard you talking about it, so I was going to leave it for you. It was all Merlin. It was all due to Merlin.
Oh, it's changed my life.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's so great.
An iOS, an Apple Watch app that you will love. Before we go any farther, there's a guy named Joseph Knoll, who is a sweetheart of a guy, and he's an airline captain, lives in Hawaii, because if you can live anywhere...
Why not?
If you can fly.
Because you can commute to work.
He sent us gifts for everybody. We have a bunch of these hand-carved paperweights. He does woodworking, and he does a beautiful job. And look, it says East Side Studio, Petaluma, California. But that's not all. And I'm gonna need your help, John, because we got a lot of these paperweights. And he said, would you do me a favor and just save these and give them to Twit, you know, super fans when they come to the studio, and I will do that for you, Joe. Thank you.
I'm a super fan. I'm cool. Taking one.
You can have one, yeah. So there's a lot of these, but there's something for you and you. So this is for Andy. And I'm not going to unpack this one because we're going to send this to you.
A small pizza.
Open the Alex.
I've been saving for one of these.
And I'm going to send this to Renee because this one's for Renee.
Yeah, I'll try to. Can we put it up to the TV like Tron? Can we?
And I'll open mine too.
It was actually surprisingly easy to open.
Thank you, Joe. He makes these. Played. This must take him a lot of time to make. He says, finally finished my next plaques for MacBreak Weekly. I wanted to send them to each person, but I didn't get a reply to my email. Sorry, Joe. Email and I don't get along too well together. I miss a lot of email. He says he wanted to come out while Alex was here, but he didn't have any three-day trips to the Bay Area. If you could make sure each one gets their plaque, you bet.
Wow, those are cool.
And what he's done is he's
awesome.
Personalizing it. So that one says,
ooh,
Leo Laporte and Alex Lindsay, yours are going to
say
your names.
So we all feel special. We can all be with Leo.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. So aren't they beautiful?
Incredible work.
And I have, he's done them for every, I think almost every show that we do, and I have in my office.
How did he? and a Leo. Is it Leo Laporte and Leo Laporte?
Leo, Leo Laporte.
Let's find out. Joe, you're the best. Thank
Leo
you.
Leo Laporte.
I apologize for not responding to emails, but I do thank you for this, and I will send you their email addresses for future.
That's great.
Gorgeous. And of course, this is what it really is, Leo Laporte and friends.
Isn't that nice? That's awesome. That's amazing.
One of my office. I know. He uses really nice kind of woods. And I don't know how he carves them, but he does a beautiful job because these are raised, and then he paints them too. So this is,
incredible,
beyond gorgeous.
That's nice. That's awesome. I have no words. That's so cool.
I know.
So we have great listeners. We have great viewers.
You know,
this is a great community.
The thing that really, frankly, makes this worth doing, besides the millions of dollars I make every year, is the not true. Is the millions of dollars I pay in taxes each year? That might be true. And by the way, happy to be a pass through corporation now. Just so you know, you might all want to consider that. Is the family? So you guys, of course, right? I mean, one of the reasons the reason I started doing these podcasts is so I could get together with you guys every week and talk. This is what I would. This is like my dream. I would do, even if we weren't broadcasting them. But we do. We have a wonderful audience, and they're very generous and very kind. And you don't have to send gifts, please. but you're giving us a little of your time each week is more than enough. It's a very generous gift. So thank you very, very much to everybody.
Every time you walk into an Apple store, like, oh, I love Twit so much. Say hi to Leo.
Really?
It's amazing.
No.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't get that when I go to my Apple store.
Because Leo, they're already saying hi to you.
But also remember that Lab with Leo and Call for
they're big in Canada.
On 3 days a week.
Yeah, not anymore. No, G4 Tech TV died at the this month. In Canada, it was the end of the line. Sad to say, that's all right. These things, you know.
Just to tell you the kind of fans we have, I was once waiting in line with a friend of mine outside a chowder fest, a big, pay $20, eat all the chowder you want, pick the best chowder in New England.
Wow, that sounds good.
And I was just talking to my friend, and someone like stops, like, "Are you Andy Anatko?" So yeah. Oh, I recognized your voice from Mac Break. I love the show. And my friend couldn't stop talking about it. He just from your voice, he recognized you.
That's so, kind of amazing. Yeah, but you have a distinctive kind of a voice, by the way.
Exactly. I suppress my natural Belgian accent. And I also paint over the mustache.
Is that your dog?
this is an extended Andy Kaufman style immersion acting technique.
We also, somebody named Sir Johnny Ives stopped by this morning and threw this out the window of his limousine. This is actually a Burke pod. So we have Burke do this whenever there's an Apple product that we can't get our hands on, but we'd like to know at least the dimensions of it. He's done it with the iPhone 6 when they first started making big phones. He did it with the trash can Mac Pro. This is the HomePod.
Is it really? I thought it was going to be bigger than that.
I thought that was a Pantone.
You're the only one, Renee, who's actually seen one. It's a little bigger than a roll of toilet paper. Which is probably what's in here. And
like a mini Mac Pro.
Yeah, it's a little bigger. So maybe an inch or two taller and maybe an inch or two wider. But that's roughly the size of the HomePod, right?
Yep. Like a half a roll of paper towels.
Yeah, it weighs 5 pounds. This does not. Burke did not make it true to weight. And I think that's because it's made out of toilet paper.
And he's got to sit inside and answer Siri questions for you to make it really little.
Except you say, "Hey, Burke."
Yep.
"Hey, Burke." Anyway, thank you, Burke, for at least giving us an idea of how it's bigger than I thought it was going to be. I thought it would actually be smaller than that. So, Apple makes $1,444.76.
That graph is amazing.
A second.
And then when you look at it compared to everybody else, you're just like, whoa.
That's not revenue. Dude. If it were revenue, it'd be, you know, five times bigger. That's profit. That's money in Tim Cook's pocket. That is, and compared
it's
to the
money in a hidden account.
That's money.
Small island.
That's money to the island
country
of Jersey
that he owns.
And it is Fortune 500 number 3, but it is I think easily the most profitable company we've ever seen. In fact, look at
the
number number 2, J.P. Morgan Chase is almost half, and the rest. Isn't that a great graph? That is a really interesting infographic. It also breaks down, the product lines. This is a technology, internet. Green is banking, finance, and the top, four or five are one or the other. And then Johnson & Johnson, Then tobacco. Surprisingly, tobacco is still bigger than Walmart. Wow. And then oil and gas.
Yeah.
But I really nice. I got to give credit to whoever made this. Is it Tucker Jackson? He's the one on Pinterest who posted it, but I don't. Or on Visual. It's on visual.ly. Tucker Jackson 2.
They're not selling munitions, and they're not selling pills for $1 million a bottle, and they're not doing all sorts of...
Yeah, it looks like he did it.
Yeah, full-time nerd.
They're selling devices with an even more corrupting influence in our society that we would give up after the guns and after
We'll get past that. We'll make them work for us soon.
You can take my iPhone when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers.
After you've been hit by a bus because you're crossing the street looking at your phone.
Somebody got...
And the driver was reading his phone, and it was a phone's all the way down, Andy.
Somebody, I think, got an early Christmas present, I'm thinking, because I saw a picture from Mr. Rene Ritchie of a steel gray iMac Pro there. Did you get one?
What a machine. What a machine, Leo.
Tell us about it.
So I regretfully couldn't make it last week because flights kept getting canceled. I was hoping to get in earlier enough to do it, but it was a storm. So I got there late, and Apple had this, it wasn't like a full on event, but they had a bunch of Apple people and a bunch of developers who had been using the iMac Pro for a while. I think some of them were a few days, some of them were weeks, some of them were probably longer than that. And they just sat down and basically gave us the story of what it was like to use it in video production. And they had HTC Vives making VR apps, and they had audio engineers there, and they had the Final Cut.
That must have been fun. Yeah. That's an amusement park for geeks.
And it's so cool to see, like, one of the things that Apple is famous for is they go on these flights of fantasy. Like, what if we took an iMac and without making it a millimeter different, we just stuffed everything we could, like close to server grade parts in there. So you have Xeon W and you have ECC RAM and you have Vega Pro graphics and you have memory soldered onto the board and you have, you know, four big DIMMs. What can we do to trick this out to make it the ultimate hypercomputer? And what would the results be? And then they did it. Wow. And it isn't like the modular Mac Pro and the Pro Display that's coming next year. But for people who love, like, especially there are a lot of people in production environments or client sides of production environments who wanted something clean that they could put on their desk, but demo in real time. That was the thing we heard over and over again. It's real time. We have an architectural model in real time. We have Cinema 4D in real time rendering stuff. We have Cinema 4D, by the way, they had two eGPUs off the back of their iMac Pro, and they wouldn't tell us how many they could actually use because Apple hadn't fixed on a number yet. But they're just like, yeah, we can crank that up.
Now, did you get to take one on, tuck one under your arm and take it home?
No, I mean, it's really hard because I'm in Canada and I don't know what they're doing for U.S. people, yeah. But I'm hopefully going to have one to play with sooner rather than later.
So these are based on your impressions at Cupertino. It was on campus?
Yeah. No, the one I went to was in New York. I'm sure they had
some
on campus.
Oh, okay.
The East Coast.
Really. I am jealous. That sounds like a lot of fun. What
the people there really liked it. I mean, the people who are using it, like the pros, really seem to like it.
You're the pro.
I haven't bought one yet.
Yeah. Interesting.
Number one is
$5,000 is not too much for a pro.
Oh, no. I don't think the price is the issue. We're probably going to get some, but
upgradability, is that an issue?
Well, the issue that I have is mostly that Apple's history of the first release of an architecture is usually a little funky. So I'm kind of just waiting to see how the chipset, you know, how the board
works.
Wait
for the Rev B.
Yeah. Rev B is usually a good thing or sometimes Rev C. but you know, to spend that kind, I guess for me to spend that kind of money on it, I kind of want to like see how it matures. And also I want to see what the more powerful ones look like too. I mean, you know, I think some of
these are only 10 core. They're going to do up to 16 core eventually.
Yeah, 18. Yeah, the 8 and the 10 are out now, and the 14, the surprise 14, which we weren't expecting, and the 18 come out next year. But both Apple and the developers were kind of, they said it depends on your workload. Like people who do machine learning might skew towards the 18 core. But for most people, the 10 core has the highest turbo frequencies, and it gives you 10 cores plus the highest turbo frequencies, and that was the one that a lot of people seem to be
gravitating. Should mention that this is not necessarily the fastest Mac if you're looking for single core performance, right?
Right.
No, it's a good blend.
But I think
it's really for people who know that their apps are going to be multi-core. They're going to take advantage of 10 or 8, 10
What I want to start 16
apps.
What I want to do is I want to take
multiple
some,
apps at the same time.
I want to. There's a handful of operations.
So the I'm sorry. Let me just want to get this clear. So the Mac OS takes advantage of all the cores.
Yes.
So if I launch multiple applications, it'll intelligently assign applications to individual cores. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the demo they showed was launching three simulators, like the iPhone X, the regular iPhone, the iPad simulator, all within Xcode, then having Linux in one VM, Windows 10 in another VM, an older version of Mac OS in another VM. And the Windows was running Chrome, by the way, at the same time. And they're showing that they had almost zero impact on each other.
Like, and I bet these were all 128 gigabyte RAM, the maxed RAM, right?
Yeah.
That's part of it, by the way. So 128 gigs of RAM, 8 to 16 cores, although the bigger ones will be later. But the clock speeds are... So, if, for instance, if you're running a game that you want to just own the machine and it's not a multi-core game, which I think most are not.
Well, a lot of the games are leaning on the GPU anyway.
This is the best GPU Apple offers. Yes, right?
Some people are still upset that it's not NVIDIA, but Apple has a working relationship with AMD that they don't have with NVIDIA, right. And they will get completely out of the way as much as is technically possible and just let you hit that video card straight on if you want to. And that seems to give them really good performance.
It's weird because if you pay more money and you get more cores, but the clock speeds go down. So the 8 core is the fastest clock speed. The 18 core is 2.3 gigahertz compared to 3.2, but it does have turbo boost. My only point being people who should buy this are people who know that they're using Final Cut.
Well, and if you're going to spend that kind of money, if you're going to spend $13,000 or whatever on a computer, you should know, is this really, and those are the kind of people that are going to buy, they're going to buy this. When the issue with this, a lot of people say, I've seen people posting like, this is crazy, $13,000 or $5,000.
The max hardware is $13,199.
For the people who are going to buy a Pro, they are the people who, the cost of labor, the cost of their time, the cost of waiting, the cost of making deadlines. That's why you buy a Pro. If $5,000 seems like a lot of money for you for a piece of hardware, then don't buy it. I mean, go get an iMac. I have an iMac at home. I love it.
But even if you had loads of money, it wouldn't necessarily be the right choice, depending on what you do with your Mac.
Yeah, but if you have loads of money, that's not the issue.
Well, I have unlimited funds, but I want to play a video game.
It may not be any better. I think that it would probably be great, but it probably, with a GPU and everything else. But I think that there's certain things that I'm interested in testing on it, which is PhotoScan, which does photogrammetry. To put it in perspective, on my iMac, which is pretty, it's the latest iMac that's pretty decked out. It took one, to do one, I turned 140 photos in India into 93 million points.
Holy cow.
And that took about 6 days. Fortunately, I was traveling, so I just turned it on, went cooking, and then I checked in.
But this would be presumably a...
Well, if this became overnight, that would be a huge thing for me. Yeah. And even if I could do lower res previews, right now they take 4 or 5 hours just to see how it's working, whereas this could be something that I could see in half an hour. Another one is something like Cinema 4D. I'm sure that they'll release Cinebench, stuff that will help figure that out, but I bet you things like Cinema 4D and 3D apps are going to benefit a lot from this compressor. I can only imagine
compressors, multi-core.
It'll take full advantage of that.
Final Cut got 360 video and 6K support to go along with this.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, Final Cut, just, we're going to be talking a lot about Final Cut next, tomorrow night.
And one of the reviews, which we talked about last week, talked about 8K video.
It's coming.
And this is fast enough to have an 8K workflow.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. And that's
because I remember when you started shooting this show in 1080, right. It took you days.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And no one could watch it.
Yeah. Well, and then we've done 4K. We had the same crash on the rocks when we did 4K about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And we saw Blackmagic.
This would eat 4K, no problem.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't even think about it. I mean, my current iMac does that. We saw Blackmagic release 8K cards, capture cards, I think a week or two ago. And we were like, well, that means there's 8K cameras coming.
Somebody's
in NAB.
So interestingly... If you're going to buy this, you're stuck. It's not upgradable. This is a
RAM is, but you have to take it into Apple or a service center to get them to change it for you.
So you can they can open it up, or you if you're careful.
So they had to move the slots higher up, so you can't get them from the bottom anymore. But a service center can just pull it off and stick them in, and then replace it for you.
So the only thing you can upgrade is the RAM. Although if you were wily enough, you probably could upgrade the hard drive.
A lot of it is solder. Like it's not actual components. It's chips. That's how they get a lot. Like they're getting a pretty amazing throughput, and they're getting it by connecting everything straight onto the board.
And so there's nothing replaceable,
which also makes it cheaper. No. I mean, I know it's expensive, but it's cheaper than it could have been.
Yeah.
If everything, you know, the only way to get to that size, and when you
they're smart to make Final Cut be the showcase, because frankly, you could get a PC that is upgradable. I mean, it probably wouldn't be much cheaper,
right?
But you wouldn't be able to run Final Cut.
Well, yeah, and I thought the most interesting part of the press release for Final Cut that they just when they released it last week was the 2 million installed base is, I think, bigger than I think a lot of people thought.
Yeah, people did not give up Final Cut. We thought they might.
Well, they found a new audience. You know, I mean, at $300, where they have still, what is this, 8 years later or 7 years later, haven't charged an upgrade. And they put out these huge feature sets that are new. It's a different model. And
well, also 2 million. I mean, I own Final Cut and I keep downloading it. It probably includes a lot of people like me who bought it at one point.
But all of them do. Photoshop does.
It doesn't mean you're using it full time.
I have Premiere on my machine as well. I don't use it every day.
Right.
You know, so I think that arguably, people say in Hollywood and TV, there's about 150,000 editors.
That's the real question. What percentage of those 150,000?
Apple doesn't care. Who cares? You know, like they don't care about that.
Why don't they care?
Because there's a huge industry now in cutting your shows, you know, for YouTube and for, you know, all these online outlets and for your company and for PR and for education. And, you know, there's a lot
that's
of other
bigger
businesses
than Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, it's way bigger. Hollywood's always been the top of this little pyramid. You know, and Final Cut is, you know, and again, the issue is that Final Cut takes, like, for instance, I now have to think twice about opening Photoshop because right now inside of Sierra, and I don't know exactly why, I was having trouble until the last upgrade. So until Final Cut upgraded, every time I opened it, my whole laptop would slow down. Like it would just, and there was something about the old code or whatever. As soon as I upgraded Final Cut last week, all of that went away, and suddenly it was snappy again. Like, Final Cut worked really well. My playback worked well. I mean, because I was really frustrated that I'd upgraded to High Sierra. And but Photoshop still drives it into the ground. You know, so if I open Photoshop on my laptop, my iMac doesn't have the problem.
So Adobe needs to get with the program. And
they haven't updated whatever they have. And so Apple is able to take full advantage of – and this is the – you know, by the way, this is the whole fight that – this is how Final Cut got started, was Apple telling – I mean, this expression of the iMac and iMac Pro is what Apple was trying to persuade Adobe of in the mid-90s, where they said, hey, base it on QuickTime, base it on our architecture, and as our hardware gets better,
we promise you'll get better.
And but Adobe Adobe didn't want to do it. They didn't want to not be cross-platform. There's a whole bunch of good reasons that Adobe chose to not do it. But then what Apple did to do that is they bought this little editing package from Macromedia to just show people that you could build it on top of their platform, and then that upset Avid. Avid put out a horrible press release, and then Steve Jobs went for the kill.
Right.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have Final Cut at the level that it is now.
Renee, Jono in our chat room wants to know, and I don't know if you know, had enough time with it, but could you hear the fans when it was really ramped up?
So the only thing is we had a lot of people there, and it was a big room. So, but we did, like, it was whisper quiet. And I know Marquez said that it was whisper quiet when he was editing with it during the week, and all the people there.
And Marquez was doing 4K, I think, right?
I think he went up to 8K.
Did he do 8K?
And I know Vincent LaFarre was doing 8K with his with his Red Weapon. But the eGPUs are super noisy. So that's now that I want Apple to make a
are people an using
enclosure.
So those are the external eGPUs. Yeah. Are people using those? Are they so unhappy with the Radeons that they're actually adding?
It's not unhappy. It's that you can use multiple. Right. Yeah. So like Cinema 4D was using two in addition to the internal card, and they were doing what Alex was talking about. It's things that used to take them a night or a day. They were doing like it was like the scratchy version of it, but they were looking at it real time. And they said, like, before we hit a button, go out for the day, come back and say, oh, no, wrong settings. And now we can see a good enough version that we can tweak it and then, you know, make sure that it's the way we want it.
So That's why 10,000, 5,000, 13,000 is kind of...
It's less than the red camera
they're
putting.
That's not actually the price tag, because you're going to add eGPUs, you've got the input devices, the cameras, and you're certainly not going to stick with one monitor, right? Video editors, I've never seen a video editor with just one monitor.
Yeah, and
so you're going to add another... Two 5K monitors.
And you may, and I wouldn't, for instance, on the storage, I probably would only do a 1 terabyte.
Do a terabyte and then have
because,
a Thunderbolt
because I'm going to have it all externalized anyway. I don't want to have, I want to have my applications internal, and I don't want to put anything on the internal drive. Yeah. So that makes it a little less expensive. And I think that.
Yeah, I took $3,000 off. It's only
And there was one thing that they said, and we tried to fact check as best as we could, is that, like, compared to a consumer PC, like if you're going straight Skylake or KB Lake, this looks expensive. But if you're going part for part, if you're using Xeon W, ECC RAM.
This is a $1,500 processor by itself.
Yeah, right. it's comparably priced. And when you add in the display, it's usually about $1,000 under what you can do for build to order.
And you're getting a really stellar P3 full gamut display.
Yeah.
And again,
let's customize this. By the way,
spec it out.
Yes, spec it out. So you can get the 16 core in 6 to 8 weeks. That's 18 core. I'm sorry, 18 core.
If I was going to buy one, I'd probably still buy the
standard, the 5?
No, I would buy the 18.
Of course you would. Okay. And memory, you'd go to 128? Do you really need
probably, I'd probably go to 64. The problem is if I don't feel like I can upgrade it, I'd be leaning towards 128.
You can, though. We know you can.
64, I think, is fine.
Yeah, so 64. Storage, you said 1 terabyte because you're going to use external. That makes sense.
Fast gradient.
Now, there's two different graphics cards, but as far as I can tell, the only difference, $600 difference is... It's a 56 to 64, 8 gigs of RAM, 16. So it's more internal memory.
And that internal memory is going to affect your texture maps and so on and so forth. Right. I would definitely
maps.
Do.
Okay. Upgrade that. And then we're not going to bother with the magic
I would
mouse.
I would get the Visa mount adapter kit because I'd probably put it on an ARM.
Yeah, of course you would. So that's actually not bad. That's 8878.
So that's probably something that I'll get sometime soon.
And you already own Final Cut, so you don't need to buy that.
And Logic. Which are great, by the way.
Now... A lot of people say, well, Pro's never going to buy an all-in-one unit like this. But they might because this is disposable. You're going to use it for a year and you'll be happy.
I mean, well, even a couple of years. I mean, we're still using the trash cans. I mean, it's not like we stopped using them. And we still use – we just use computers until they die. But
you hand them down and the people who need the highest
end stuff. Up being like servers at the office and you know like that are mail or whatever.
A pro has completely different priorities and needs than you
totally.
Well, if you're a pro, but then I do.
Well, they also define different kinds of pros. Like developers, they said, is now their biggest pro market because there's so many people making apps and they actually like the all-in-one and the clean desk. And
they do.
They need multi-core sometimes for making machine learning now is incredibly popular. And it really scales well across machine learning.
Yeah, the guy doing the augmented reality app who did his reviews said it just compile time alone. It's all that matters to me. If I can compile 10 times faster, this is all I need.
When you look at I think the average developer is getting paid. I don't know what the number is anymore, but I think it's like $130,000. You know, in Silicon Valley is kind of the going rate. So you look at that salary, and you look at you just break it down to if they're spending an extra, if they save 20 minutes a day or an hour a day of compile time, it's a lot of money. I mean, it adds up. And I think that those numbers are similar to company folks working in visual effects. I could definitely see. This, and I don't know anybody that I would talk to about it at Pixar, but I can imagine Pixar or even, ILM. No, they're kind of Unix. They have Unix, a lot of Unix background. But if they, if a big firm was already on Mac based, a lot of times what they do is they have all the servers in a central location, and then they're running fiber out to a monitor and a keyboard because they want to keep it all clean. They want to keep it all, away from the artist. The artist just needs a way to control it in the screen, and this is what it gives them. So I think that I think there's a lot of people that, that kind of speed is going to be enough to go a year or two, and then after that,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean,
well, we're going to talk about what's coming.
They had
next,
some great architects there who, they said that often it is a server farm behind the scenes, but they love this for when clients would come in.
Yep.
They had an app that would take CAD models and render them, and you could set the time and day and season and year, and you could paint in trees and walk them
through it all in real time.
And again, for them, all in real time was a super important thing, and they would just have them for the client meetings, and it was worth it.
Oh, but that makes sense. I could see a lot of people using it for that.
But if I wasn't doing heavy video, lot of 3D photogrammetry, like heavy compute stuff. Like Photoshop is not enough, in my opinion, unless you're doing like 60 megapixel, you know, images or something like that. For the average Photoshop user, the average video editor, I think the iMac is the base iMac or your laptop is fine.
Logic with 80 extra tracks, all with Alchemy plugins running, yikes, still going in real time.
So that's where you really get bogged down and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep.
So this is Craig Hunter, who is doing a AR app called Theodolite. He says, most of my apps have 20 to 30,000 lines of code spread out over 80 to 120 source files. He says, reductions in compile time for me between 30 and 60%. So you still have other, you know, slowdowns like launching the simulator. But if you're doing repetitive code compile test cycles, 30 to 60% reduction in compile time alone.
I think Apple said LLVM compiles 2.4 times faster.
That's a lot more even. Yeah, I think he's including all the other stuff that he has to do to you know, change, compile, run. That's stuff, you know, there's other things that a fast computer isn't going to.
And they were clear, it really depends on what your coding is for, what your project is, and what all the elements are inside that project.
He's got a lot of good benchmarks, though. This is a great review at HRT apps.
And also he hits the science stuff because you have those vector processing boosts that you get from the Xeon chip.
Yes, he talks about that. Xeon is a workstation chip. It's not a consumer chip. And so everything you would say about choosing a Xeon for your computer versus a Coffee Lake processor.
And it has some trade-offs because of that, because Skylake does not support the HEVC 10-bit the way that Kaby Lake and others do. So what Apple is doing is, because it's so powerful, they're using the 8-bit and then they're adding in the GPU to do the final HDR part. Yeah.
All right. So now the question is, and this is, frankly, I bet this is the same thing for you, Alex. I almost pulled the trigger on this.
It's the color, Leo. Get it for the color.
No, I do love the color. And that, you know, they're smart, because that when you go into the architect's office and he's showing you your elevations on this, it's beautiful. Right. And you go, oh, that's special. It's different. The old silver ones look kind of old now. But we got a Mac Pro on the way. And that's the real question, because I would much prefer to buy a Mac Pro.
Pro display.
Right. And for modular, and I could upgrade and things like that. So we're starting to hear now some rumors. You just kind of intimated that the Mac Pro might be coming pretty soon. What do you think?
It's next year, but so the thing is, I hate to make predictions like this, because for a couple devices, like Apple TV was supposed to be WWDC, it moved back to September. MacBook Pro was supposed to be WWDC, it moved back to September. So Apple could have every intention of showing off the next Mac Pro at WWDC, and we might not see it until September. Or it might be like HomePod, where it gets to December and they're like, it's not quite right. We'll see it in January. So I think it's their goal to get it out in 2018. And if everything goes perfectly, I think we'll see it then. But with projects like this, I think you always have to, just inside, so you don't build up expectational debt, you have to be willing to mentally pad it out. Like, maybe it'll be six to nine months after I really wanted it to come.
As you pointed out, all they ever said is not this year.
Yeah.
They didn't say 2018. They don't want to set any expectation. And yet the buying decision for an iMac Pro really hinges on, well, is there going to be a Mac Pro in the next 6 months?
For some people, I mean, I think that I'm quite happy with the iMac form factor on my desk and at home, you know, like my work desk, you know, because when I'm doing the computer,
You want something simple and clean.
It's just simple, clean. It's out of the way. And it's right now it's super fast, you know, so I think that I wouldn't feel like I needed to wait, for the Mac Pro. I think given the kind of horsepower you're getting from the iMac here, again, in a professional world, it's 2 or maybe 3 years of use, and as short as
you
one.
Will have a cleaner desktop, though, if you don't have to use an external GPU, if you don't have to have external hard drives. Right. I mean, there's something to a tower case that actually could be cleaner. Obviously, the trash can Mac was as unclean a design as you could be.
But I think a lot of people would be. I mean, if you're an editor, even editing 8K, I think that you could buy this top of the line iMac Pro, and you'd be You'd be super happy. I mean, you know, I think. I mean, I haven't used it yet, so I don't know. But
So one of the things, VentureBeat has an article intimating that it says Apple hints at new Mac Pro and Pro display as iMac Pro launches. The hint is really that Apple has kind of indicated, correct me if I'm wrong, that they're going to make a new monitor. Remember,
they've set it out right.
They stopped making cinema displays, and they said by the 5K from LG. But Apple has said, we're going to make a new monitor. What did they say about
it? That didn't turn out so great for them for a couple reasons. One is like the interface is the app. You can switch from Gmail to iCloud or whatever, but it's your mail app that you interact with all the day. And the same thing with the monitor. You can switch out, like you can get a Mac Mini, switch to a Mac Pro, do sorts of things, but you're staring at the monitor, and not to have Apple's brand on what you are actually looking at all day was probably bad marketing on their part. But also LG had a bunch of issues. Like they took the spec and didn't really produce it fantastically well. And I think Apple learned maybe the hard way that they really have to, if they want to control, you know, famously, if they want to control the integrated experience, they have to control the integrated experience. So when they said the new modular Mac Pro was coming, they were very, very adamant that the new Pro display is coming along with it. And I think that's sort of like the hub that's going to glue a lot of their next gen Mac.
It doesn't help us understand the timeline though, does it? Not really.
No. I mean, when it's ready.
Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating.
Also, we really shouldn't make any assumptions about what the Mac Pro is going to be like. I wouldn't be surprised if the reason that they're not committing to a timeline for it is that they realize how much research they have to do into their market for this before they pull the trigger. The fact that this is a company that was capable of doing doing a computer the shape of a Quaker Oats box, so different, so radical, such a different change, because they felt so strongly about, they had the numbers, they had the research, they thought they needed to build what was going to sell well to the people they want to sell it to. It doesn't mean that we're going to get the tower box with a whole bunch of slots and racks for internal drives. It could be that we will get something that's actually closer to the Mac Mini, with only the entire, basically half of the stuff inside that box is just there to keep the CPUs cool and to make it run as quietly as possible. So I think that any complaints that people might have about the iMac are premature, the iMac Pro rather, because again, that's supposed to be half of their Pro Mac line, not the entire Mac line. But at the same time, you just be ready that every time that Apple says that we have a design that we think you're going to love, put the seatbelt on, make sure you've got the Hans device clipped into your helmet, because this could be a hard ride.
I think the amount of power that they put into the iMac pushes more towards the idea that we're going to see a really high-end rack mountable 3U, you know, that's highly modular, but done in an Apple sort of way where things are easy to take in and out. Mm-hmm.
From your mouth to Tim Cook's ear, because that sounds like what we would want.
Something you could turn, you could.
But it will be twice as expensive as the iMac Pro.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's what if Pro users aren't going to buy an iMac, what they want is that. I mean, you know, they want, I can take the ears off and set it sideways if I want to, and it looks really cool. Or I can just stick it in. I can rack mount it. There's so many people that have rack mounted the trash cans, and they don't rack mount very well. And so the thing is that what Pro users want, whether Apple, you know, is something. And it looks, here's the funny thing. Good looking servers actually get a lot of work. You know, like we have, I know it sounds crazy, but you know, we have these Elementals, which are expensive. You have an Elemental. You guys have Elementals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
they just upgraded. The new Elementals are even more expensive. How many did we get? We were trying to decide if we needed two for redundancy, and I think I decided they're so expensive, we'll just have one, and if the stream goes down, the stream goes down.
Yeah, we buy them in pairs, and I have one.
Well, it's reasonable, because you can't afford to have a stream go down.
But they have these little green, now it's orange, it's really annoying. But anyway, they've had green ones, these green fronts.
It's very pretty.
People recognize them. They're like lit green fronts, and people recognize them. And they were talking about getting rid of them, and I was like, you don't understand. We made a lot of money on that, because people ask you what it is. And you say, oh, that's a hardware. That's a state-of-the-art hardware encoder that's used in all the major CDNs.
It's like 25,000, right?
Like that fishbowl of old X-serves.
North of that. The chiclets you can get for less. You can get the little chiclets for like 10 grand or something like that.
Ours were, I think, 25K.
Yeah. Those are each. Do those have one channel? Or two channels.
And you also have to get a service contract.
Two channels each.
You also have to have a very hefty service contract, because you can't buy it without the service contract.
I could buy a Tesla every year for the amount I spend on that service contract. But we're high maintenance too. They get a lot of emails from us. So the
We're paying for your service fees, because we never call them.
They were pretty clear. Like they said that like the Mac Pro is about 1%, I think, of their of their business, because the iMac is their most popular desktop. But they did things like made the previously you had to order the Visa mount or not order it. That you had to make that decision when you placed your purchase. And with the iMac Pro, you can get the Visa mount and then take it off and put it on. If you're in a production environment, you can mount it, take it off, put it on a desktop, take it back off, put it on a mount that you want to take to the studio, whatever you want to do with it. So I think they're listening better, and hopefully, you know, knock wood, like what Alex said, they're going to listen to the people who actually want that device as opposed to an iMac and purpose build it more for their needs.
And I would love to see that divergence. Like, we're going to put something, a server-based thing that still clients will see and it looks cool and it has a cool, like, Apple in the center and everything else. Or we have a an iMac that you want to put on your desk, but the trash can doesn't need to be on the desk. You know, we don't really want to show that.
Here is the, I think this is the picture of our new yellow Elemental.
Orange. It's Amazon orange.
Oh, Amazon owns them now. So that's right. They got bought.
Sad.
I don't know. That's
I'll get into a lot of trouble for saying that, but.
You like the green better?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The green was great.
Green looked like Hulk.
Yeah.
Elemental smash.
I didn't even think about the color. It's over in a rack somewhere. I think about the check that I wrote.
Yeah, but we've owned a lot of different encoders, and once you get used to a good
well, that but see, you can easily look and see which is new and which is old
for the when the elementals.
Yeah.
Well, I know I keep all the green ones, and then I replace them with the orange ones with the green ones.
So you can see how you stand, where you stand.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I were going to buy one, then I would get the standard, what they call standard configuration. That's the $5,000. But I think you're right. I think you don't need to upgrade. 8 cores, plenty. But I think 64 gigs, not 32 gigs, right, of RAM?
Yeah,
I would still go for the 10 core. That seems to be like the most popular sweet spot.
10 core?
Because you do get that turbo. It's the fastest turbo frequency. So if you want to do single threaded tasks.
Oh, yeah. Good point. A little bit 3 gigahertz. No, actually, the turbo frequency is 4.5. By the way, yeah. Burke has sent us yet another picture of the Elemental with the lights
in
on.
In a server room, it sticks out. And that's the sales thing. So if
yeah,
Apple built one that stuck out, people go,
yeah.
Oh, they've got
yeah,
an Apple.
It does.
Yeah, so let's see.
How do you like it?
How do we like it?
No, saying that's you just changed the lighting system on it. People know that, oh, you got one of those
right.
Things that I've read about. How do you like it?
It's good advertising.
And then they say, oh, sure. It's lovely.
Yeah. And then for my purposes, would I upgrade the video card? Should I stick with the?
I would. I mean, come on.
For my purposes?
I don't know. You can live the way you want to live. I'm just.
Or is more, Leo.
You're not an animal, Leo.
Hey, come on.
Are you putting your HTC Vive on it, Leo?
Do I really have to use a fork? I mean, you
right.
have
so,
to use a fork.
So,
you can use your hands.
So instead of the $5,000 base model, the reasonable model for a person who just wants the fastest Mac you can get and likes to have it in steel gray is be $71.99.
Yeah.
And you can get it January 4th. Won't be able to get it for Christmas. Not putting it under the tree. I hope I could put a Mac Pro under the tree by next year anyway, but we'll see. I think you're right. I completely understand why Apple's not pre-announcing. They shouldn't. But it does make it a little bit trickier decision for somebody who's got some budget.
Yeah.
How long do I hold out?
And then the big thing is they basically put it out, so there's a lot of people with the end of... End of year financial. So there will be people that just jump on it right now because it is a
money.
Business cost. And I'm sure that was one of the reasons they wanted to make sure they gave everybody enough time to order it is to book that cost in 2017.
You may be ordering for February 23rd, but you're paying for it now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mine is until June. So I can, June 30th. Is
your fiscal year ends in June.
So I got it.
Or May. All right, let's take a break. There's much more to say. Renee Ritchie, iMore.com. Thank you for your impression. That sounded like a fun event. I'm jealous. That sounded really fun.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We weren't sure where you were. I thought you were probably on a plane to Cupertino, but New York City, that's almost as good.
Yeah, except for the snow, Leo. Three flights canceled on the way there, and three flights canceled on the way back.
Holy cow. And that was before Atlanta had its...
Ice is not the plan of... It's not the friend of flying.
Yeah. My Echo Spot just got delivered. That's the little round one that watches you in bed.
Yep.
People keep asking for a cameraless version, and I think they might sell
put
that.
A piece
if they
of
had
tape
a
over it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because it's also got the brightness sensor is in the same place as the camera, so then they're complaining that the brightness goes too high or too low if you cover it.
I don't know, John. I don't know if it's – I can't tell where it got delivered. See if I got a box.
It has eliminated everyone in my house calling me by my name. So I'm officially dad because otherwise the show
people
was
think
constantly
Alex
turning.
Is you-know-who?
The show came on all the time.
Ding,
and I was like, and so that it has the family has been the show has persuaded the family not to.
Alex Lindsay, so, he is the Pixel Core man, pixelcore.com. Renee, Alex, and of course Andy Anako from the Chicago Sun-Times. So, did you want to say something? So,
no, I'm just saying that when over the commercial break, just try not to think about if this says something about your family caring more about this device's feelings than yours.
I'm not going to call you by name, Dad, because I don't want to bother.
If you go down that road, that's a long road.
Before Christmas.
I'll cheer you up. Buy a new house. Or you know what? This is the time to refi because interest rates are going up. They've already said it. The Fed is going to raise them again and again and again. They raised it 0.25 point. They say 3 more raises in 2018. That means your lovely low interest rate, you'll need to lock it in now. You might even get a lower interest rate if you refi with Quicken Loans, the best lender in the country, and Rocket Mortgage, the fastest way to get mortgage approval. We love Rocket Mortgage. If you don't know Quicken Loans, and I imagine you do, one the best lender in the country, number one in customer satisfaction year after year after year, according to J.D. Power, 8 years running now. That's pretty darn good. They just got the award again for 2017 in both mortgage origination and mortgage servicing. Now, the mortgage approval process with Rocket Mortgage has gotten light years better. I think they just locked it in for many years to come. You can do it entirely online. No more going to the attic to find paperwork. Everything they need to know, they can get easily because of their trusted relationships with all the financial institutions. All you have to do is go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Pick your term, pick your rate, pick your down payment. Give them some basic information, the stuff you have in your head, name, address, birth date, that kind of thing. They will say, all right, we found you. Is this you? Give us permission to pull your financial records. Yes. And then this all happens instantly and not in a bank office, but on your phone or your tablet or your computer. Based on your income, assets, and credits, they crunch the numbers and they offer you a loan. They give you all the options for which you qualify. You pick the one that's right for you and you're done. You're approved in minutes. Before the show's over, before this ad's over. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak and get started. Even if you're not buying or refinancing right now, you can go there and get it started, you know, set up an account so that when the time comes, it's even faster. rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. If you use that address, then they know you heard it here, and we appreciate that. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. People are always saying, how can we support, you know, the shows? Just if an advertiser like Rocket Mortgage fits your needs, just use them and make sure you use the address we give you, rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. That helps more than you know. It really is a big part of how we make the shows happen. We thank them so much for their support. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. They didn't get iPods to put in the stockings. Too late. Apple says we're sold out till January. That's from the online AirPods, store, yeah. U.S., Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, United Kingdom. Most of the Apple retail stores, although I guess if you looked around, you might find one that had some, you know, something fell under the counter and they forgot. Or Best Buys, or Macy's, or Target, or Walmart, or Verizon. AT&T
there were so many in New York,
stopped.
Leo. Everywhere I really? Went, there were people were wearing. I thought there was an AirPod shortage because everyone in New York was wearing them. But just on the streets, in the coffee shops, in the hotels, people just kept walking by in that brisk New York pace with like AirPods.
I noticed that too, and I've noticed that everywhere. And that really shows you. At first, when we saw them, we thought, "Oh, nobody's going to want to wear that white thing." But it's now the norm. It's the new norm.
Yep.
And again, I think one of the things that Apple does well is it looks different. It's white, and you know that everybody else has one. Yep. You know, I think that was always the white headphones always told you that.
Right.
You know, and so I think I've never actually used them. I mean, I use the wireless ones. They do fit better in your ear for whatever reason they look the same.
It's not pulling down. Yeah.
But I've never been able to have the other ones work for me at all. And these ones, they work fine.
I love them. I think they're very functional. Andy?
Yeah, no, I never thought that the little stem hanging down was an ugly thing at all, given that we're used to having white cords hanging down, and that certainly is. I think that's certainly responsible for how good these AirPods are at keeping in contact with my phone, despite the fact that I don't have it in my chest pocket. I can have it in my pants pocket, and it works just fine. So yeah.
So if you want to look around at retail, you might, AT&T stores apparently have some. You might find them. But otherwise, you're going to just want to make a handmade card.
And otherwise, I just want to remind you that December 19th is getting very close, that you probably need to buy.
Okay, you know, here's what you do. You put the pre-order in. It's going to take you a couple weeks to get it. So for the box under the tree, you get a couple of those, like when you go to the bank or your dentist's office, they have those like miniature candy canes. And then you just put like a wedge of marshmallow inside the crook of the cane. So it looks like a pair of it's a pair of Christmassy AirPods, so that A, they know they're getting AirPods sooner or later. And also they've got a sugar hit. And it's also kind of cute. Just make sure they don't stick it in their ears, because that will be an unhappy thing.
I'm looking in the Apple store January 9th. Is right now.
Oh, that's not too.
Are they having a hard time making them, though? They're obviously having a hard time keeping them in stock, which is pretty impressive.
I think they overcame the initial troubles making them, and now it's just, it has surged towards the end of the year.
Sure, that makes sense. Yep. Yeah.
And they have, they also might be ramping down slightly because they have that's true, because they have the wireless case coming out early next year, the inductive charging case.
Oh, I don't know. My understanding is that they're the same AirPods, they're just a different case.
Right.
Yeah, you might have to buy it separately. Although I know Ming Chi Kuo today said they're tweaking the AirPods, so who knows?
I'm just amazed at how much nicer. I have a lot of headphones, and I'm just the overall experience of syncing them and
so much
them back
better.
In the case.
Yeah,
everything is just so much better. Like you're just like, and it's just like, what is, you know? It's just amazing how all those little details of when you drop it in, it kind of pops in, and the way it's set up, you put it in. I bought those after.
Did you? So we're just. Whipping out my
the Jabra is a good example of what I mean. It's
so close. If it were as easy to pair, maybe they need the W1 chip. I don't know.
They're not as easy to pair, and when you put them in the case, you're not totally sure that they're.
I know. I always open the case upside down, and they fall out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just little things. It's all those little things that didn't quite get sorted.
But the sound, they're nice. Do you like the sound better?
I think the sound quality is better.
Yeah,
the mic is not as good.
Ah, I've not made a call with them.
I tried it.
These are the Jabra Sport Elites that we talked about last week.
But they're okay. I mean, they're good. I mean, I'd rather wear them. They feel like they'll stay in my ears a lot better.
Yes,
I was I tested them this morning. So I was listening to music and chopping wood, and
wow,
and it was
Abe Lincoln.
They didn't pop out. They didn't pop out at all. And I was curious. I was like, oh, I wonder if they'd work. And someone cut down a tree in front of our house, and then I got them to cut it up into pieces. And my favorite pastime is chopping wood.
That's a good, you know, I did that when I got fired at CanBR. I chopped a cord of wood. It's a good way to get, I thought you were a little sweaty when I patted you. Now I understand.
No, that was.
He's wearing his lumberjack shirt, though.
This is
good.
A Lindsay plaid. This is
Lindsay, is it? That's your family?
This is my family's.
Wow, I need a Dunlap plaid for my family.
See, I have like five of them. So, you know, because what
happened? Where do you get that?
L.L. Bean.
And it says the Lindsay plaid?
Oh, yeah. It's Lindsay plaid. And it's always so, like, so what happens is I think my mom gets me a new one every year, depending on what weight I am. I get like somewhere between X large and medium. But that's usually the thing. And she knows I'm happy with it because I kind of just wear them all the time.
See, I don't want the Dunlap tartan.
Yeah,
that's kind of ugly.
The thin lines. but the Lindsay plaid,
yours is nice. It's got red and green. It's very Christmassy.
Yeah,
mine's like blue and black.
But L.L. Bean, and we black get really upset if a year pops up and L.L. Bean doesn't have the Lindsay plaid. But they sell out every year, so
there's a lot of Lindsays. There's not so many Dunlops.
Yeah, it's a nice plaid too. People wear them.
Well, they never check ID, so probably maybe people just responding to the plaid. You know, but back to the AirPods. The only thing I don't like about them long term is that they pick up the inside, the nooks and crannies inside the case picks up so much lint from inside my pants, inside my pocket, and I just flip it open and it just looks like I've been.
It's like pig pen. You open your iPod case
and it's like. I was thinking, like,
I haven't either. No. Andy's living in a different.
I mean, the thing I like about
it's all the coal dust from your furnace.
I don't have them on me, but I'll show you. Actually, I do have. They're so small and handy. I didn't even know it. And before I show you the inside, I have to point out that
I love your Rebel Alliance logo on there. That's
I got to need to reapply. It's been sort of falling out. But I want to say that I did like swab it the first time this happened to see. Oh my God, are my ears that filthy? But no, that's not it. And so you can see it's sort of a little bit. I don't know if the camera will focus, it's just
it's
like
little,
around the
it's a little
the
lint.
Seams.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, mine does that like, too. Yeah,
I just wish it weren't little.
Well, they're so white that any schmutz at all really shows up.
Yeah, I think Micah Sargent had a great article on cleaning them because he's very particular about.
Well, we talked about it on iOS today, but maybe we've been too aggressive because one of Megan's AirPods failed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people have had that with sweat too because they're not waterproof.
The one thing I have gotten
don't steam clean them.
These are waterproof. These Jabra Elite Sports are waterproof. So if you sweat a lot, you might want to think about those instead.
I do know you can't get lazy and just leave them out though because I have had them. Like I walk away and I'm in the phone. I thought that when I took them out they wouldn't, but
they pair randomly. Yeah, randomly. Yeah. Yeah. They're glad to pair. Yeah. I lose calls all the time because my phone just decides, no, you don't want to listen this way. Right. You want to use those.
Yeah, exactly.
Media, according to Ming Chi Kuo, you mentioned this, Renee. Yeah. He remember again, analyst predicting for investors, not for normal people. He predicts AirPod shipments will double year over year to 26 to 28 million units. No, Apple does not say how many they sell, so this is all just projection based on supply
the other
chain.
Category.
That's a lot, though. Wow, that's a lot.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think that they're not. There's not a lot of strong competition for the average user. I mean, if you're a sports user, I think I'd much rather wear the Jabras for
running,
working out.
Yeah.
You know, than the iPod. I feel like they're more secure in my ear, especially when you get the right sizes and you clump it in. It really feels like it's part of your ear, but on an average use, I don't use them. I use the AirPods.
Kuo said the second generation AirPods, and again, no one said anything about second generation, but him, will include a smaller quartz component. I don't know what that means, but didn't say anything else. But again, remember, he's got great connections in the supply chain. So what he's probably hearing from Inventec and the other manufacturers is, yeah, we're making them. We got a new component.
It doesn't sound like functional changes.
No.
Like it's not if you buy one and you buy the other, you're not going to crack it open and go, oh, my quartz component.
I mean, I think they're still figuring a lot of things out. I think that there's some future there where it is kind of in your ear, closer to the Jabra, and it's a really nice hear-through or not hear-through.
Well, see, the Jabra gets heart rate in the ear. They get VO2 max in the ear. But they have to fit closer to do that. But that's what I think Apple needs to do is the next step. And this does coaching as you run.
Right.
That's the next step, I think. I guess it's the app that's doing coaching as you run.
Yeah, but, AirPods can do coaching, but they can't
AirPods can do that with the right app, right? Yeah. But the coaching's tied to your heart rate, which it's getting from this. I guess you've got heart rate on your watch.
Yeah, RunGo will pull it from your watch, for example.
And I think we've barely seen the integration. Seen the integration with workout tools and everything
there's a
else
lot
where
to
you're
be done.
Where there's going to be a point where you walk up and it designs and constantly changes your workout and every device that you're using is smart and it will keep track. It'll automatically set your weight. You won't have any of those little pins or anything else. It'll just set your weight. It'll count how many you did. It'll know what it's going to do next time. And those are the high end gyms will start with it, but it'll be in 24 hour fitness in 10 years.
Let's take a little break. I want to talk about other news in the Apple world, including the podcast analytics features now in beta. I'm curious what you podcast types think of that. I have to talk to some podcasters and see what they think.
Those podcast types.
And a little more about the Mac Pro and the T2 chip.
That's a fascinating chip.
Yeah, we're learning a lot more about that. Update for iOS. You might want to do that during the commercial 11.2.1. What do we get? We'll find out. And don't buy Cuphead on the App Store. It's not available. But it does raise some interesting issues. Plus, if you're a Battlestar Galactica fan, you're going to have some very happy news. But first, a word from WordPress, my blog host. For many years, I started a WordPress blog, and when WordPress first came out, I used every blogging platform there was. And the minute WordPress came out, it was like, I have found my Nirvana. But it wasn't perfect. I'll tell you why. I was running it on my own server. I was hosting it. And that's expensive. And more importantly, I had to spend time maintaining it, thinking about it, upgrading it. Then I found WordPress.com. Their servers, much less expensive than my server, and they maintain it. They keep it secure. They keep it updated. They keep all the plugins updated. So you never have to think about it. All you have to think about is your beautiful WordPress website. I use WordPress.com every day. And let me tell you, whether you're looking to create a personal blog, a business site, or both, when you create your site on WordPress.com, you help others find you, remember you, connect with you. The WordPress.com site is actually a very active social site as well, so it drives traffic to your blog. That's great. There's a follow button, which I use. I have lots of followers at WordPress.com, which means more people read my posts, more people are going to cross-post, tweet about it, Facebook my posts. That helps you build your business. Your customers are helping you build your business. And you don't need to be an expert. Sometimes people say, oh, that's too complicated for me. No. Despite how great WordPress looks and the fact that everybody uses WordPress, 29% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress, including, I was just reading the Facebook research blog post. It's on WordPress, not Facebook. I love it. Even Facebook uses WordPress. But you don't need to be an expert. You don't need to hire somebody. They make it easy. Deceptively simple, really. You just pick a template, start blogging, start posting. You're there. You get built-in search engine optimization automatically. You get social sharing. You get AMP, so your site loads faster on mobile. You get HTTPS secure, so your site, not only is your site secure, but Google ranks it higher because of that. And their business plan gives you access to hundreds of plugins and themes. Some plans even allow you to add your own themes and plugins from the outside world. And what a great customer support team. I've used them several times. They're there 24-7, well, 24-5, I guess, 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then they give them a little time off on the weekends. They're there on weekends, but not all day and all night. Plans start at just $4 a month. 29% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. I think they're, before we're done, they're going to be a third of all the websites in the world. That's amazing. We got a great deal for you, as always. We like to arrange these with our sponsors. If you go to wordpress.com/MacBreak, 15% off your new plan. 15% off wordpress.com/MacBreak. And it'll also, as I said, let them know you saw it here, and that helps us keep the lights on. wordpress.com/MacBreak. That's one mistake I made. If this were an audio show, we could just do it in the dark. We wouldn't need to keep the lights on. I could have a single bare bulb.
That's true. It'd be hard to read the notes.
All right, Renee, you sound like you're interested in talking about this T2 chip. I don't know anything about it. Tell me about it.
So originally the T1 chip was what was inside the MacBook Pro with Touch ID. It had a secure enclave so it could handle things like Apple Pay and the display for Apple Pay, so a merchant couldn't, for example, say this is $20 and then charge you $200 and not show you. It was all really secured and locked down. And when Apple started to look at the iMac Pro, they started to wonder what they could do when they had an ARM processor running inside the machine. And one of the things they did, for example, was take a lot of the controllers, like the disk controllers and the sound controllers and the video controllers, and they put all of that into this ARM chip. So this ARM chip not only does all this control stuff in a unified way, but it does it in a secure way. For example, people can't mess with the FaceTime camera or try to turn off the light and turn the camera on. Do that sort of thing. Also, because it does hardware level encryption, it has an AES engine the same way that the iPhone ARM chip does. It can do live encrypt decrypt. So as you're working, all the stuff that you're working on is encrypted on the fly in, I think, pretty much real time by this chip. And then as it's saving out, pulling in, saving out, all that data is encrypted and decrypted. And even if you use File Vault, it takes significant, maybe even almost all the hit off of the actual SSD that you're spinning to do it. It has a secure enclave, so it can do all, it can hold the keys for you, it can do all that sort of stuff. But to me, it's really interesting where Apple is still letting Intel do what Intel and AMD does best, and that is the big processors, the big hot heavy heatsink processors. But they're letting the smaller stuff, the stuff that is low power, that needs super efficiency, and they're offloading that to ARM. And it seems like that is one of the big stories of Apple over the last few years, is this fusion. And whether it's online and local or wide angle and telephoto, or SSD and HD, or now ARM and Intel, or even like the efficiency and performance, Apple's doing this two-pronged approach where they're pushing the performance limits on one end, but instead of leaving a huge gap underneath, they're sort of filling that with something that is small and efficient on the bottom side. So T2, it feels more like an SoC and less like a system in package, which is what Apple used on the MacBook Pro. But I think we'll see a lot more stuff sort of fall under its governance as we go forward.
Cable Sasser said he has, I guess, one of the new iMac Pros.
Yep.
So there's new utilities that are specific to the T2 chip, like a startup security utility.
Yeah, it'll verify the boot, and the boot will verify the firmware, and the firmware will verify the OS all the way through so that no one can sort of forge anything into that chain. And you can turn it off if you hate the idea of Apple encrypting and controlling your boot process. You can go into settings and turn all of that off. But if you like the idea of that security, you can leave it on.
I sure do.
And if you think about government clients, banking clients, I definitely could see a lot of this stuff being very valuable to them.
Makes me wonder why they didn't put a fingerprint, a touch ID in it, because it could have done that, right? T1 does it on the MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I think it was. So there were rumors of them doing a Touch ID equipped Magic Keyboard, which is what this would need, because the keyboard is separate from the chip, which is different than a MacBook Pro where you have a hardware channel. But they've done sort of Touch ID over wireless before. They just encrypt the packets. But I think this came out at an awkward time where Touch ID is being replaced with Face ID, but Face ID is not ready to scale yet. It's still iPhone only for now. And if this has come out next year, it might have Face ID. If it come out last year, it might have Touch ID. But I think right now it was just an unfortunate consequence of the timing where we're caught in between those two biometric worlds.
It actually could, but you make an interesting point. It could ship a separate keyboard.
Yeah, they could release it anytime.
Tomorrow has it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting. I would love to see that. I mean,
they're not talking about it. They're saying we did this for device level security and performance.
Right.
Not for
voice recognition.
And I think they haven't announced that yet. I'm sure that's coming, but they haven't announced, hey, slow-mo for this device yet.
And I think that the Apple's definitely taking advantage of what it has to offer as far as being a closed system, you know, that it can do all of these things with the OS working with the hardware. You know, this is something on a PC side that would be, you know, more difficult to achieve.
So I ordered one. What the hell? That put me over the top. It's a T2 chip. 3 gigahertz, 10 core. You said that was the sweet spot. 64 gigs, terabyte. You said I don't need more.
No, I don't think so.
Vega 64, right? Because why not?
Yeah.
I'm not an animal.
YOLO. YOLO.
John's getting all excited now.
3 years from now, John, it'll be yours.
This is like every YouTube video where the friends are sitting around the guy in the bicycle saying, no, you totally almost made that. If you just pedal a little bit harder, you'll definitely clear the gap between those two buildings.
So you're saying this is going to be a fail video on YouTube next week?
I'm just saying that when friends are recommending you do something and they have no skin in the game.
I shouldn't have listened to them.
Just think.
So January 4th. So what I'm hoping, it won't be in time for the next live Mac Break Weekly, but it will be for January 9th, Mac Break Weekly, and I'll have
CES special.
The CES special, and I'll have a little more to say about that. I'm not replacing this. I like my Surface Studio. We'll make a thing so it can lay down. Well, I didn't order the Visa mount. I should get the Visa mount. We probably could have some sort of Visa mount thing. Could you make a way, or you dig a hole in the desk?
Only you could.
There's got to be a way to do it.
Only it had a touchscreen.
You see the lack of touch. That does it. I can't do that. I'm keeping the Surface Studio. I like the Surface Studio. But I did. I think we should review it. I think we need to review it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Alex, shouldn't there be a way to just set up 3 cameras to keep an eye on the screen to track your finger and translate that into a virtual pointer device?
There are many technologies that allow for that. They're just not very the resolution is not very high. But you know that's how the smart boards work, and that's how they only use one to triangulate it. But people make covers for the screens, you know, so that it's like a little touch thing, but it's none of it works great. And then it also, some of them are the ones that work really well that you can just touch really use basically an infrared at the very bottom. And then if you use certain kinds of lights in a studio, it doesn't work anymore. Just in case you're wondering, it's not that that's ever happened to me. when I needed to work on a TV show.
I'm just curious. I'm just thinking, I'm looking to look at our Mac Break weekly show numbers here. We use PodTrack to do the show numbers. And let me just get a report, because I'm just curious how many of our listeners listen on iTunes, right? That would be the thing that would be most interesting. And I think that they do tell us by source here. Oh, I have to enable Flash Player.
What?
Well, it's an old site. So it looks like, wow, that's interesting. Mozilla, iPhone, Stitcher, NS Player. Is NS Player iTunes? That's something Apple.
I would say Apple Media, Apple Mobile something, I think.
iPad, iCore Media, iTunes, Windows. So really the biggest slice, which is interesting by source, is unknown, 61.52%. This is of Mac Break Weekly. Let's do it quarterly. That's just one show, so let's do quarterly. That'll give you more. So the next slice is Mozilla Linux. But I think that's because a lot of browsers, including maybe even Safari, identify as Mozilla. So that's just in browser. iPhone is 6%, right? So that means that's Apple Core Media. That means using the podcast app on the iPhone, right? Yes. 6%. Stitcher, 6%. NS Player, whatever that is. Clearly an Apple product because the next step, NS, 2%. iPad, 2%. iTunes, Windows, 2%. iTunes can't be more than, say, 25% of our total downloads. Oh, here it is. Here it is. And it's not by percentage. But iTunes, Macintosh, 289,295 downloads out of 1.8 million. So that's per quarter. In other words, it's not a big player for us. How about for you guys? Imore, you're doing mostly Apple stuff.
Yeah, iMore skews higher. Vector skews more towards Overcast right now, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, this was all about Android. Wait a minute. I accidentally... that would explain a lot, wouldn't it? Let me go to MacBreak Weekly.
Pocket Cast, unusually high.
No, it's pretty much the same. Unknown. Oh, yeah, look at that. Apple Core Media, 39%. iPhone, iPad, 7%. So it's more... Yeah, it's closer to half, or maybe even more than half, iTunes. Okay, so that's a big difference. I was looking at the wrong show. The reason I mention this is because Apple has podcast analytics, but they only count for people who listen in Apple Podcasts or use iTunes, right?
I think that we do a lot of analysis of shows. So there was some of our first web materials that we built were for a company called On Networks a long time ago, and they had great analytics. It's now become like UStudio, and they still do all the analytics, and you got to watch how people watch your show. So regardless of whether everybody watches it or not, if you have a high enough sample rate, you're going to get a flow of things.
I guess you're right, because you know it may not be 100%, but it's a fairly representative sample, I guess.
Yeah, think of it as like a polling thing. They're not asking everybody in the United States whether they like Trump. They ask 1,000 and then they extrapolate.
But even if they get if they get as much as 50%, that's going to be pretty reliable. 10%. Might be skewed a little bit by the fact that it's
the platform.
The platform, it's Apple.
But I think it'll be iOS, or I believe it'll be iOS, or the desktop listening, or iTunes. And the big thing is that what you really get to see when you start looking at that data is what you did during the show. Like, so there's definitely curves that you want to see. If you see a real big spike at the beginning, that means your marketing is good. If you see the slow drop off, it means that the content isn't compelling, because you're losing people slowly. If it drops off really fast, it means you did something that made them really upset. If it jumps up really high, then you look at did someone tweet during the show? Did you do something that was crazy? So looking at all of that data allows you to make a better show. So it's very valuable. I think it's huge that Apple did this.
I don't even know what I want to log into our analytics. What account do we use? Would you ask Patrick, what account do we use? Does anybody know to post on iTunes? It's not my account. Oh, well, we'll have to find. But so that's what you do. You log in and then you get some analytics. I presume, Renee, you're doing this.
Yes, although I haven't had much time to play around it. I was at the session at WWDC where they introduced it. And I know it scares some people, because some people think it's like big analytics moving in like on the web, and they're going to start micromanaging their purchases based on every second of audience engagement or some, you know, insert your marketing buzzword on there. But I like to look at it from Alex's point of view, which is, what is it telling me about how the show is being listened to? And granted, if your show is all about Android, maybe very few people are listening to it on iTunes. But for people who have Apple-centric shows, I think, or people who just have very pop culture shows in general, by which, you know, iOS is a huge platform for them, then I think that that is just more information. And the trick is, a lot of people get focused on data, but data is worthless without good analytics. Like, data actually tells you nothing. Even if you see big spikes or big valleys, they don't, maybe, you know, they don't really tell you that much unless you know how to interpret them. And I think for people who are skilled, people like Alex who are skilled with this, it's a lot more and a lot better data to sort of.
Well, start and I can speak, you know, in radio, you don't let the boss, the program director, yes, the DJs read the numbers. You have a research director who has studied statistics and understands what this all means to tell you. Because you just look at the raw numbers, you're going to maybe draw the wrong conclusion from it.
Yeah. But I think definitely looking at it will help a lot of people's shows.
It's very valuable.
Because, again, you can start – there's so many things that we do in our live broadcast that are based on that data. You know, and whether it's that data or it's data on a live broadcast, you know, so when you watch the live feed, you can usually watch that data, and that tells you so much about whether you – are doing a good job or not, you know, as far as holding people, as far as attracting new people, all of those things.
Actually, more than half of our downloads for this show are, I'm just doing the calculator, are from some form. Does it, every kind of app, so if it's iPhone, iPad, does every Apple count everything from every Apple source?
I mean, it's interesting because some apps use Apple technologies, so they'll report as, you know, like Apple's whatever framework or foundation it is, or I forget the media player name. But they should give you at least very good insight into what the Apple devices are doing. And then as it gets further away from the Apple ecosystem, not so much.
62% of our downloads for MacBreak Weekly are through some Apple thing, iPhone or iPad. So we would get numbers for 62, presumably, I'm guessing, 62% of our audience. And that, you're right. That's statistically very significant, yeah, right? At least for this
you would,
show.
You would definitely have a very clear idea of how people are listening to the show.
Well, I got to pay attention. The only reason I resent it is I presume they're also going to provide this at some point to advertisers or not.
I think that'll be your choice, but advertisers may ask for it. You know, like that, you know, I don't think Apple's going to give it to them, but advertisers are going to say, "Hey, let me see how the show's going." They want to know whether
we give them raw numbers. I mean, and this is pretty much typical of all broadcast media. You pay per 1,000 impressions. Right. So in broadcast, it's called CPM and cost per 1,000.
Which doesn't make any sense at all. CPM.
No, I mean, the whole thing is inverted because they would pay the most. When they knew the least about their audience, they paid the most because, like, you get a magazine or newspaper and give it off to five different people and they never knew. And then they got the television, it was slightly better and they paid less. And they get to the internet and it's precise and they want to pay even less instead of taking it as a brand marketing opportunity. I mean, it's just.
But you can see why broadcasters want to control additional information. I don't necessarily want to share audience information with advertisers. Or I want to control how I share that with advertisers, not because I don't want them to know, because I want to protect our audience's privacy. It's a privacy issue, but that's why Apple would probably also do this.
I don't think Apple would. Yeah, they wouldn't have any issue with sharing. But I think that as a podcaster, you'll probably end up as this gets bigger.
Well, there'll be demand to share. You bet. And that's another issue is that, you know, when advertisers know that information's there, they're going to say, well, you know, if you want to advertise,
if their ads at the tail end of the show, how many people are watching at the tail end of the show? They're not going to want to know how many people totally.
So let's pretend none of that exists and just move on.
Then you can charge them more for the beginning of the show, Alex. It's the glass half full.
Exactly. The old price is just for the end of the show. The new price is three times higher.
Are you? I don't know. Is Mike Hurley using this? Do you know Andy? Is at
I am on the wrong side of the editorial barrier, Kurt.
Yeah, I don't. So you don't want to know, and I don't blame you. We try not to tell hosts that kind of information.
I'll say just as a podcaster, I'm very, very pleased that the relationships that I have with podcast networks means that I can just focus on doing good shows. If there's something that I need to be told about, then the people who produce the show let me know what that is.
Yes,
but I feel as though I might go nuts if I had access to that if I looked at that specific data and tried to figure out how I can get another 2,000 listeners or 10,000 listeners. I know I would go nuts if all of a sudden the business end was saying, oh, well, you really had a good spike. And we don't know. We were trying to figure out why it was. And we know that that was the time you were wearing a University of Colorado hat.
Yeah.
Remember last week you were wearing a Red Sox hat? So, like,
that's why you don't want to work in real media, because you hear stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's the worst. And so, I want to isolate our hosts from anything but editorial content. That's all that matters.
What I like about it is that I can look at it and go back to the show and go, oh, right, that's what we did. that worked or didn't. And if I don't see it, then I just go, well, that's an anomaly, because sometimes it is. So, I think that you have to watch enough of it and also be clear that you don't really know. You're just, but a lot of times what we find is that you can see certain things. Like, I can see bumps in a live stream when a different person comes on the show, and it's a different star, it's a different thing, you can see these little bumps.
That's stuff I don't want to know.
it allows us to design
as a broadcaster, if you're the boss, you do want to know.
I mean, there's an iambic pentameter kind of thing that you kind of start approaching of, I want to have a heartbeat thing where I'm going to let you kind of do the stuff, and then I want to bring something. And then you watch some, stream we did last week just went like this the whole time, and that's
I think it's tricky though, and again, and as to reiterate, it's easy to misinterpret this data.
No, and you definitely have to know that you probably only know half the story. But as you watch, we do a couple hundred events a year. As you watch those events over time, you start getting a sense of what you're looking at.
Hey, should I have bought Apple Care for my iMac? You believe this?
Buy Apple Care.
It costs the same. To buy Apple Care for, even if you get a $13,000 iMac Pro, it costs $169 no matter what, right?
Kind of like a cost of entry.
Buy an iPhone Apple Care.
When was the last time that you forgot to take your iMac Pro out of your pants before you put them in the wash?
How many times do you drop your iMac?
You're not going to drop it, right? So do you buy Apple Care?
I have everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I win all the time.
I have this thing where the minute after the warranty expires, everything breaks. And so I've learned to get extended warranty because then I just take it in and it gets fixed.
Our hardware lives a hard life. It's on the road. It's moved around, and we definitely get our money's worth out of that.
MacBook Air is $249. MacBook $249. iPhone X, $199.
And these are all statistics. They just know that your iMac,
you're not going to drop your iMac,
is going to be sitting on your desk. Yeah. It's much less likely to go bad than your MacBook Air or MacBook or iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, that's why I don't buy it, because you're deciding whether you want Apple to insure or whether you want to insure and self-insure.
You're paying for the clumsiest customer, which is me, Leo.
Yeah.
I thank you.
And that's what I don't want to do, so that's why I don't. Apple is Apple has so much cash. We mentioned last week that they've spent $400 million to buy Shazam. Apparently, according to Recode, Apple's putting $400 million into lasers.
Freaking laser beams.
They're actually given $390 million to Finisar. This is part of that Apple kind of investment program, right, where they are actually giving money to their suppliers to make them better. And they're going to build a plant. Finisar is going to build a plant in Texas for vertical cavity surface emitting lasers. And aren't you glad? The world needs more VC cells.
When you look at this, I think this points towards facial recognition in the iMac, in your MacBook Pro, in the reverse side of the, the reverse camera.
The iPhone X face scanner uses
basically
it,
right? Having all of that, and definitely AR. I mean,
the AirPods use it. I didn't know that, to sense your AirPods. Ears. It's like the proximity sensor, basically. Yeah. Huh. I didn't know there were lasers.
Sounds scarier when you say lasers. People don't want to put them in their ears, so you just say infrared sensors.
Infrared sensors. Apple has other sources than Finisar, and so one of the reasons Apple pumps money into one supplier is to make sure it's
favored nation.
Yeah, most favored nation.
Make sure they're first in line, but also to have some influence in how they grow their build business, how they run their business. Basically, that's their ability to say, so long as we're holding the pink slip to this equipment, you're going to make it to our specifications, to our tolerances, and maybe it will also give them some exclusivity. Remember how it was years before any other phone had a fingerprint sensor that was half as good as Apple's? That's because for a time they had basically a lock on that particular technology, that particular model of sensor.
Yeah. I knew somebody that was building a little converter box in and they couldn't finish the converter box. They had the designs done, and I was like, why? And they said, well, they share like two chips with the phone.
Yeah.
And it literally, the whole world supply, when Apple released it, they had to wait like four months to put their product out because they just couldn't compete with Apple.
This is part of Apple's $1 billion advanced manufacturing fund. And there's a political purpose, too, because this is to Apple says this is not an investment. This is an award.
I wish I got to figure out something that I can get awarded $300 million.
Hell of a leg lamp for that much money. That's pretty good.
You did a great job. Here's $300 million
to Corning. Same thing for the Gorilla Glass. So but this is political too because it supports American It's in America, American manufacturing jobs, and Apple's going to put out. Apple did produce a feature report about how the $390 million will transform the future of this Texas town.
What Texas town is it?
Yeah. What Texas town? I don't know. Sherman, Texas. Well, you know,
Island
in 2012, the plant closed in Sherman, Texas. Bruce Armstrong has been walking through that empty plant ever since, always holding out hope that would come alive again. Well, thanks to Apple, that hope is about to become a reality. Here's Finisar workers wearing specialized gear in the VC cell manufacturing area to avoid contaminating the wafers. I don't know why they're behind bars, but probably because of high security. All right.
No, they have the journalists behind bars. It's just precautionary.
Oh, that's right.
Measure.
It's yes. That's who is. That's who's behind bars. Looks like the bars are decorated for Christmas. Let's take another break. I want to get your picks of the week. But first, a word from the stocking stuffer of 2017. And I can tell you how I know that because we all have gadgets we lose. We all have more gadgets than ever before. But many of those gadgets, I'm sad to say, are ending up underneath sofa cushions, underneath beds like my AirPods. I have two AirPods. Two. I bought a second pair of AirPods because I lost my first and then we found them under the bed. So that's why now all my stuff has a tracker on it, the CoinSize tracking device using Bluetooth LE to pair with your smartphone and help you keep an eye on your most valued possessions. We're all looking for something. Love, purpose, unforgettable experiences. But for most of us, it's our keys. And years ago, Tracker changed the world with the first Bluetooth tracking device. And now they've done it again. They got the new really sweet Tracker Pixel. It's the size of a dime. It's the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. And it has LEDs on it, which helps you find it. If I had it on my AirPods under the bed, I would have seen the lights.
Bastian DeWitt, the guy who does Halide, he said he throws one in his bag before he checks it, then it's always easy for him to keep track when he gets off his flight.
Totally know where your bags are. Yep.
Yeah.
And now remember, Bluetooth only goes for, see this crowd locate notification if you're watching the video? Bluetooth only goes about 150 feet. If your bags are farther than that, don't worry. You can still find out where they are because you can get notifications. You turn on the notifications, and then anybody who has the Tracker app on their phone, because of Bluetooth LE, there's no pairing. It automatically, it'll see the tracker and say, oh, and add it to your, it'll send you a notification and add it to the map. So you know where everything is, thanks to, get this, 5 million trackers all over the world. Everywhere you go. It's the largest crowd locate network anywhere in the world. Plus, with a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. It's on my keys. It's in my bag. What, you have one?
No. I was saying they should gift these to the baggage handlers. They should just
And
then like just
put it on bags. You know, Denver Airport could have saved millions if they just used trackers.
Oh man,
go to thetracker.com/MacBreak. You'll save 20% off any order. It is not. I think it's not too late to order for Christmas, but you've got to do it right now. These are great stocking stuffers. When you're given those nice gadgets, put some trackers in the stocking to help them keep from losing them. All sorts of colors. Go to thetracker, thetracker.com/MacBreak for 20% off. Now, a little hard to remember how to spell tracker, so I'm going to spell it for you. T-H-E, you got that. Tracker's missing the E before the R, so it's thetracker.com/MacBreak, 20% off at thetracker.com/MacBreak. We thank them for their support of MacBreak Weekly. My pick is my new fidget spinner. Thank you, Alex Lindsay. I just love this. It is awesome. Renee Ritchie, your pick of the week.
So I have two, because the first one I haven't actually had a chance to play yet, but it's Inside. It's a really well-known console game that has finally, quote-unquote, finally made its way to iOS. And I know my coworker, Lori Gill, lost her entire weekend
I've been looking for a good new game.
So if you like ambiance and you like, it's just, it's gorgeous. And people are just enjoying the I've been afraid to play it because I only have a couple hours of sleep left in the night, and I'm afraid I'll give that up the minute I start playing it. But if you are looking for just a beautiful, beautiful iOS game, this is the game for you.
It's a puzzle kind of.
Yeah, you know, I haven't played it. I just saw everybody I know freaking out about it the minute it hit iOS. My Twitter just lit up. Inside's available. And then I asked Lori about it. And she said, "Oh yeah, spent the entire weekend playing it."
Downloading.
So I figured that was as good a recommendation. I've downloaded it. I've not yet opened it. I'm afraid. I'm so afraid.
I need a good game because I've already made all the paperclips in the universe.
Oh no, I know.
So I don't.
My second pick is DJ Pro for Mac was updated. Now there's DJ Pro 2. And this is an app that a lot of professional DJ players use. And I've used it just because it's fun, especially if you have friends over, to have that sort of interface up either on your iPad or on your Mac. But now the Mac version has gotten a huge boost. And they didn't really make it for Melio, but it feels like they did because they have this machine learning thing that makes it possible for even complete sound morons like me to actually have two songs sort of mixed together. Because the machine learning has just been trained to identify the perfect endpoints and outpoints for songs. And you can hook it up to Spotify if you have it. So you basically have unlimited records with you. And then you just pick the songs and it will handle mixing them together for you. And it'll also, if you throw photographs at it, it'll time the photographs to the beat. So if you have a television set at home or if you're a pro DJ and you have a giant screen behind you, you can, instead of just using stock images, you can throw your own photos and stuff in there and it will time the show, the visual show, to go with the audio show in real time of what you're doing. And it's algorithm. They won the Apple Design Award for accessibility at WWDC. So it's fully accessible, which I think is absolutely terrific. And it's a great update to an already great app.
I know you were probably going to mention Drafts. Because
I saved it for you because you did such a good job on it.
Well, so this, and I only learned about it because of the Vector podcast, Renee's Vector podcast. Merlin Mann was on and he talked about it. And it's one of those programs you might, you know, drive by on your iPhone or iPad to see in the
app
store.
It's an indie developer, Greg Pierce, this one guy.
Agile Turtle. Tortoise. Anyway, the problem with it is you look at it and you go, I don't need that. It's a text entry program. So you already have, you know, in notes and reminders and everything else, you know, email and messages, you have a keyboard. But Drafts is like the keyboard on steroids. It supports Markdown. But more importantly, you can download actions, and there's lots of third-party actions. And it works with my key is I don't want to type. I want to dictate. And it works with the Apple Watch. I put a complication on my Apple Watch. And so if anything strikes me, a quotation, a to-do, a reminder, a text entry of any kind, a message I want to send, a tweet I want to send, I can dictate it on my watch. It automatically then goes to my phone and my iPad. I can correct it. And just as easily as using any Twitter app, for instance, you know the character count, which, by the way, is a very handy thing.
Yep.
You can send it to Twitter. Or
it's like time
messages.
And space shifting for text.
It's basically a front end for all your iOS apps. $4.99.
And if you're Merlin, you can like make it so that the first line is the name of the journal you want to update, and the second line is the entry you want to append it to, and you can just go as deeply Merlin-y as you want to.
And that's the thing. When you look at it, you go, well, first of all, why is it $5? What do I need this for? And it really does. You got to watch the screencast, listen to the podcast for sure, and watch all the screencasts. And then really, it only gets valuable when you put some effort and customization into it. But once you do, it's a whole new workflow. We should also, public service announcement, do not buy Cuphead in the App Store. You can't anymore.
It was a fake. It was a bundle.
I don't understand,
though,
why these things are sneaking into the App Store. Isn't Apple paying attention? This was a $5.
I have no idea how this got past App Review.
It's the second one. There was a Bitcoin wallet that got through.
There have been a lot. There's a history of fake apps. Anytime an app has been popular, like suddenly there'll be an app that just has a screenshot of it, and they'll try to charge people before they get caught and pulled down. And maybe there's a volume issue. Maybe they're using utilities to check them before humans do. But it's a problem they absolutely have to fix.
They can't let this happen. I mean,
And you can get a refund. The important thing is if you bought it by accident, if you saw the original article that went up or you saw it on Twitter and someone said, buy it, you know, and you went and got it, you can just go to your receipt, hit the report a problem thing and ask for a refund, and iTunes will give you your money.
Mr. Alex Lindsay, he's typing furiously. That probably means he's either buying something or...
I already bought everything so far. I'm just trying to keep up. You know, it's just working. So I have two little things to talk about. One is... two things to recommend is Commenda, which is...
This is your app.
We made it. So what you do is you just log into Facebook through the app.
I'm doing it right now. Okay.
We don't gather much information.
Continuing is Leo. What is this?
So now what you can do is if you go to Facebook, open another tab.
Okay.
I'll show you. So,
and do a Facebook.
And go Facebook, Facebook Live Map. Facebook Live Map.
So and this then is a map of a lot of Facebook.
Click on that. And then
live.
There you go. Now click on any one of those. Just control click on that video.
Okay.
Just hold down the control key.
You're a very fancy boy.
I know. This is my life. Hold on.
Okay. Let's see. Control click on it.
Should be. I don't know why it's not letting you.
What do I want? The URL.
You want the URL. It'll give you the URL if you write. Maybe if you right click it.
I'm on a Windows machine. It doesn't work like anything.
No, it won't work with that. That URL doesn't.
Oh, that work. The URL doesn't work. You need the live video URL.
That's the actual location in the world.
Okay.
So what you do?
Anyway, tell me what I do, and then I will do it.
Oh yeah,
at some point.
So if you take that information in, you just can't see much until you do it. But it's what it does is it lets you manage all the comments. So
what do you mean?
This is a little bit of a pro thing.
This comes from an API that Facebook offers.
Yeah, so there's an API that basically, if it's a public event, now you can't change the comments. It's not designed for that. But if you're doing events, it's something that we've kind of built into the back end of a lot of our shows. I don't know what's wrong with your. Right click on that. Just hold one up and then just click on one of those or anything. I don't know why that one's not working.
Okay.
Something really weird about
it's something Windows. On our network.
So anyway, yeah. So if you right click on that video, so we have on a Mac, you control click it. Oh, there you go. So show
video
URL.
URL. Yep. Okay.
And then it's not going to show it to you.
It's doing it. It's thinking I don't know.
It should pop up and
I think it's a Windows issue or a Chrome issue.
I think it might be a Windows issue there. This is all becoming more complicated. On the video, if you right-click on the video there, it'll do it. But I think that there's something going on there. What it does is it lets you, if you're a broadcaster or you're running a show on Facebook, you can get all the comments and sort them and put them on iPads and, you know, like let everybody, you know, like really drive it in. There you go. Maybe you can get that. Ooh, right-click. And this is there you go. Now show URL. There you go. Now click on that and hit copy.
Now I paste
Now we're there. Now paste that in.
It's a Comedia.
And now hit show comments.
Show comments. And these are incoming comments?
Those are all the comments, and they're coming in live.
The problem is they come in so fast live that you can't really do anything.
The other problem with them is they're not particularly useful. So if you click on filter here, and then turn that min words up to like 12.
So somebody's
and it'll
really
show you all the
energy.
Stuff, and then you go... Take display matches and say just remove them.
So okay.
And now go back to recent.
Yeah.
And now all you have are the longer ones.
Oh.
And it'll also move slower. Now the other thing is that you can have someone looking through this. It's a different language, but hit highlight. So this can be you can be saving the ones that you like in the middle.
Oh, this is great.
And you can and then you can drag these.
Facebook obviously has an API for this.
Yeah. Drag that into host. I don't know if you can drag it. Just hit host button. So now what that does, if you click up here that says host control, this is if you had it on an iPad.
If this were me instead of my Strata.
You can reject it or you can hit answer, and answer will make it full screen. This is more for an iPad, but it pops up so that you can see it. Now, if you go back to the other window, go back one, it's turning red so that in the control side, I can see that it's activated.
So this is kind of like the tool you had before.
This is the next generation.
But this is for Facebook video.
This is for Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And if you hit active here.
Am I screwing up this woman's poor woman's?
No. This is completely passive. So it doesn't touch the event itself. But what it does is
it's in real time, though, which is nice.
Yeah. So what happens is that it actually makes it. This is the. We spent a lot of we
anybody
lot
can
of
use this. I just logged in with my Facebook account.
Yep.
You're making this available to the public.
This is the light version. We have a much deeper version of this that we still use internally.
PXClabs.com/ Komenda-Light. Komenda-Light.
Comments in Shona in Zimbabwe. So anyway, we had to think of a name. So the and then you also have, if you click over here to, you see output 1/3. Mm-hmm. If you go over to the, there it is over green screen.
Oh, so lower third.
Yeah. And then if you also click,
I wish we had this capability built into our stream. This is awesome.
And then if you have host,
we should start streaming on Facebook just so we could do this.
And then this is teleprompter.
Oh my God.
And then you hit this little button and it'll reverse it back and forth.
Oh, so if you got a mirror, sometimes teleprompters use mirrors.
So all of that, and those are all just web pages. So it's easy. You can have someone managing these questions from anywhere, you know, and so it's not, you know, the team doesn't have to all be in the same room.
Very nice.
And this is, again, like a little light version that I know that for a lot of users, you're not doing a lot of those, but if you're doing streaming, this becomes super useful. If you're streaming to Facebook, So anyway, we do a lot of Facebook Lives.
So we built this.
Built this to kind of manage the shows. We've trying to figure it out. We just want a lot of people to hit it so that we can, find any bugs and so on and so forth. We're kind of curious also whether people, you know, like it.
Well, let me do some Facebook Live.
Yeah,
and I'll let you know. Wow.
Anyway, so that is
pretty amazing.
It all started, started with the comment engine that we started, I don't know, 10 years ago here.
Yeah.
We used it. So this is a slightly...
very nice.
10 years of thinking about it.
You said you had two picks.
The other one is... by the way, we're going to use that Komenda. We're doing a Final Cut user group tomorrow.
Oh, so follow Alex on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter or Facebook. But we're going to do it on the Pixel Core Facebook page.
We did this experiment.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, my other recommendation is Mel Chemistry.
We subscribe to this. This is so cool.
It is awesome.
Chemistry kits by mail.
And the only thing I'll warn you about is you suddenly have your kids nagging you to do experiment, to learn about chemistry.
We did this one too. Awesome. That's burning. That's setting foil on fire with a battery.
Yeah, and it's a great and they're simple. They're straightforward. There's a little iPhone app that, you know, lets you do stuff. They have an AR thing that I haven't really figured out yet, but they've got lots of little videos.
So the kit comes by mail and has instructions, and there's usually 4 to 6 experiments per kit. I don't know what Lisa got it for Michael. I don't know what it costs, but it was really fun.
It's really great. Like if you're looking for something for Christmas, this is a
52 kits for $50. That's a good price.
Yeah, and the experiments are really well laid out, and the kids love them. And they're not, you know, they're kind of they're great experiments that are a lot of fun. And the kids, again, my kids, we did one where you make like the kind of the magic snake where you light it and it goes.
Yeah, that was fun.
Of course, now my kids want me to
add the sugar.
They want to make one that's like 3 feet wide.
Yeah.
You know, so they, you know, they're, but, almost every day they want to do one. So it's just I don't have that many, but they, it's a great way to get kids excited about.
Yeah, I agree. It's really
chemistry.
Fun.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's it.
MelScience.com. Andy Anatko, pick of the week.
Two picks. One is the album Ella Wishes You a Swinging Christmas.
Yes, she does.
Which is my favorite Christmas album of... That's not new, but it's the first one best one that I discovered this year. Now, there are lots of Ella Fitzgerald Christmas albums that they put together. This is like the original. This is the one that she put together, I think, while she was still alive. So it's the one that really feels like an Ella Fitzgerald album that happens to be all centered around Christmas time, as opposed to yet another Christmas album, and oh cool, this one is Ella Fitzgerald. And so it's available, it's like part of like the basic free streaming thing.
It's jazzy, baby. Yeah. It's swinging.
And some deep cuts. Some of them are standards, some of them are like new stuff you haven't heard about, but they're all jazz and they're all Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh man, yeah, I never heard Christmas Island. Let's listen to that one. Jazzy. Yeah. Yep. Jazzy.
You can smell the cigarette smoke.
How'd you like to spend Christmas?
Oh, see, this is the Christmas music I want to have in my house.
Yep.
That's lovely. Ella, baby. Ella wishes you a swinging Christmas.
Yeah. And the second is a good gift for yourself, your family, or for other people. It is a streaming video channel called Filmstruck.
Oh, now, I know. I subscribe. I love this.
Yeah, I love it too. When I canceled cable last year, the year before, the only thing I really missed was Turner Classic Movies. Filmstruck is sort of like that. It's put together by the same team that does Turner Classic Movies, but also the Criterion Collection. So it's nothing but documentaries, and art house movies, and classics, and it really restores that role that I love in Turner Classic Movies and other services like that, where I don't know what I want to watch tonight. I just want to watch something awesome. I'm at the page of the new additions for this month, A Face in the Crowd, All Monsters Attack, a bunch of Godzilla movies here. Bill Cunningham, New York, one of my favorite documentaries, Birdman's Alcatraz, Blow Up, City Walk, Contraband, scrolling down here, more Godzilla movies, The Leopard, Tales of Hoffman, The Third Man. I'm just picking out the ones that I'm definitely adding to my list. Unzipped, another documentary that I really, really liked.
And a lot of this is not available streaming anywhere else. I mean,
right? They're like two fancy and high quality movies. It's like the same reason. There's some stuff that they keep off of streaming because they feel like they can make more money. Right. You're not going to get Easter Parade on streaming. You're not going to get The Bandwagon on streaming, except for maybe a narrow window. And it's not that expensive. Year's subscription to both the Criterion Collection content and the Filmstruck content is $100. And by the way, by Criterion Collection, you've probably heard of this before. This is like this distribution label that just gets the greatest movies of all time and makes a great
presentation. I used to buy those laser discs. Boy, I love them, and I miss them. So this is the way you get them. Are they all on there, the Criterion?
I think most of them are. It's the Criterion Channel Collection. I only have subscribed to this for the past couple of weeks, and I'm barely scratching the surface of this. But really, when I signed up for it, actually someone bought it for me as a gift, a year of subscription for $100.
That's a nice gift, yeah.
Which was an amazing gift. Yeah. And so I'll just go to like the first scroll until I stop like finding good stuff. And I was there for 20 minutes when I just gave up. More and more movies kept coming in and coming in and coming in. And my list has got longer and longer and longer. If you don't have to go for a full year, $10.99 will get you the Criterion stuff and the Filmstruck stuff. If you just want to get the Filmstruck content, I think that's just $6.99 a month. Excuse me. Yeah, $6.99 a month. And there's a 14-day free trial. So you can just sign up for it, watch the hell out of all these movies, and then dare yourself to be without it. It's got an Apple TV app. It's got iPhone apps. It's even got Android apps and Roku apps, basically every streaming platform that you have. The only thing that it doesn't do is that you can't download for offline viewing, but it really is. I don't think there's much chance that when my gift subscription expires next year that I'm going to let this go. I'm already kind of sunk with this.
How about Jim Henson's giddily inventive time-traveling short?
Yeah.
Which is a parody of Tom Jones. So you got to watch Tom Jones, which, boy, I didn't know. I haven't been able to find that on streaming in for ages, Albert Finney. And then put it together with the Jim Henson. Yes, that Jim Henson. There he is with his head on a platter. short feature parody. See, what a great, oh, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Features, it's shorts, it's documentaries. It's also like bonus content you would find on DVDs and Blu-rays. It's just, it's a target-rich environment, let's say.
Last chance to subscribe to it, to watch It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Limited engagement ends New Year's Eve. That'd be a good New Year's Eve movie to watch.
My local Channel 38, I think, in Boston used to run it every New Year's Eve, and it scarred me the first time I watched it. So now after that, it was let's watch the Stooge-a-thon.
Look at all the extras. So I think they're including the Criterion Collection extras. There's an extended cut.
Yeah.
There's commentary. Stan Freberg does an introduction. Wow, this is really neat. These are all extras that you really wouldn't get unless you – the radio ads. Wow.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't like about I'm disappointed but with Netflix and other these movie channels. They just give you the movie. You don't get the other material that's been produced for it. And so it's high recommendation.
I'm putting that on my watch list too. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah,
I highly agree. It's filmstruck.com. Folks, we are not going to be here next week. We're going to have a best of edition, which we're about to record if you want to stick around.
I'll be in Pittsburgh.
You'll be in Pittsburgh.
Hanging out.
Andy, what are you doing for the holidays?
I'm spending my usual Christmas in New York City.
Nice. It's a great place to spend. And I think you might have a white Christmas. I hear snow's in the forecast.
I got my bean boots ready.
Rene Ritchie, are you going to stay in Montreal? Where are you going?
Yes, sir. Holidays? I'm moving, so I got to get so much ready.
Oh, Lord. It's going to be a working ready. Christmas. We shut the studios down. I guess we'll do that December 23rd, and we will be back then January 2nd, just in time to do Mac Break Weekly for the brand new year. We hope you all have a wonderful holiday. Celebrate with family and friends. Give them a big hug and a smooch, and tell them you love them. These are the moments you remember for years, and have a happy new year. And we'll be back in 2018 with lots more Apple news on Mac Break Weekly. See you next Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, January 2nd at 11 a.m. Pacific. As long as iOS Today finishes on time. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1900 UTC. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us. Now back to work. Got a few more things to do before you go home for the holidays. But as for us, break time is over. Bye-bye.